Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
Just a few quick news notes here to get started before Stan Weber joins us to preview the college football season. I'm excited for this one. We'll talk about Missouri, KU, and K-State in that order today. We'll also preview the Chiefs and Cardinals Saturday night in Arizona in game two of the preseason. But there's a lot going on out there, including some very strange stuff around the Maui story, which you know has been very near and dear to my heart as we have yet to see President Biden show up. And on Thursday, he was asked to comment about Maui, and he says, no, not yet. Do you have anything to say about Maui? What do you have to say about your trip? And he said, no, not yet, and walked away. It's just astounding to me in an era that it's supposedly so important with imagery and support and a party that is just so completely fixated on extolling virtues upon others, that we're the virtuous people that help all and we're inclusive and all these things, that this president has not made a comment on Maui. It's just shocking to me. We saw a disingenuous ABC News put a story up this week. I don't know if you caught this one or not. They put a story up with the graphic underneath it, the Chyron, the little headline thing that you see on the screen, and then a subsequent story on their website that said, climate change not to blame for Maui fires. And the people on the left went so crazy at ABC News, they revolted. I mean, they just came after them on social media. Their phones started ringing off the hook in New York. People started gathering outside of ABC News. They couldn't believe that ABC News Division had done a story that says climate change is not to blame for the Maui fires. They changed the headline on future stories as they ran it more and in different time zones and then on their website to climate change mostly not to blame for the Maui fires. In other words, what they're saying here is it really didn't have anything to do with the Maui fires, but everything bad that happens on Earth has something to do with climate change. That's what they changed their story to. That is a news division. That's a news division that saw a news story and said climate change had nothing to do with this. Zero. And they couldn't really do that, so they had to say, well, it mostly was not about climate change. Because what? Because everything bad that happens has something to do with climate change? It's really disingenuous. Maui's a disaster, okay? It's a terrible thing that's happened. We've now learned that the power company in Hawaii was so fixated on green energy that they spent all of their money and resources toward developing green energy that they ignored warnings over the last several years that they had many old power lines in Maui that were sparking. There were like live wires, sparking live wires that were dangerous. They ignored all that in the name of green energy. The number two deputy director of the water company in Maui has been reassigned. This person apparently would not authorize the use of more water when the fire started, wouldn't release more water to put the fires out because they're conservationists and they have to protect their water supply. Our water is precious. We believe it's a gift from the gods and we only have so much and we're not going to use it right now. And he wouldn't release enough at the time, apparently, to begin putting out the fires when they first started. So there was insufficient water. That person has been reassigned. And then the mother of all these things was the response director. The siren system didn't work. The alert system didn't work. The response, once it got bad, was terrible. And this person has resigned. I mean, this is very, very short order that we have learned. The power company blew it, the water company blew it, and the response people blew it. Now, we could maybe chalk it up and say, you're on island time, and things aren't taken as seriously on islands, that they live a different lifestyle, and things aren't as important. That's not what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing is a very liberal state run by nature freaks. I'll say freaks because I love nature too, and I love the outdoors, and I want to protect it. I want to do everything we can to keep our environment as pristine as we possibly can while living our best lives as human beings. I want that too. But people that sacrifice human existence in the name of trees or the air or whatever, that's misguided. Those people are freaks, and that's what we have in Hawaii. And we've seen a lot of that. Joe Biden is traveling west. He's going to have some vacation days, good for Joe, in Lake Tahoe. Good for him. Before he goes to Hawaii, Lake Tahoe and Maui for Joe Biden the next week. He's touting Bidenomics. Here are some new numbers that are out. 34% raise in credit card debt since Joe Biden took office. This is since he took office. Americans have 34% more credit card debt than they did the day he took office. Gas prices have gone up 61% since Joe Biden took office. And the cost of a home, the average home, which many times is not the homes people want, the median home value is up 12% since Joe Biden took office, meaning many young people simply cannot afford homes right now. So it's not working out very well for Joe Biden and his Bidenomics. You may know the name Oliver Anthony. Many of you ask, why have I not played the song Rich Men North of Richmond? I'm sure you're aware of this. If you're not, please Google it, Oliver Anthony, and watch him perform it. It's had millions of streams. It's gone absolutely viral. It is a Rich Men North of Richmond is the politicians in D.C. that are sucking all the life and money out of all of us. And that's exactly what the song is about. It has resonated with conservatives, liberals, whites, blacks, males, females, young, old. This guy lived off the grid in several acres in Virginia in the woods with his three dogs. He has battled mental health issues, depression, and alcoholism. He made a deal with God that if God would show him the way to pursue his dream of singing and songwriting, that he would get clean and get off the bottle. And he did that, and he wrote this song, and it's been released. It has millions and millions and millions of downloads. It's number one in the country. It's being played on country radio now. It's more bluegrass, probably, than country, but they're playing it. It has some curse words in it that have been cleaned up. John Rich, the Hollywood producer, Nashville producer and singer from Big and Rich, you've no doubt seen and know about, has signed on with him and wants to work with him going forward. A record label offered Oliver Anthony this week $8 million for the song and to sign a record deal where they would make an album with presumably like, I think he would have to guarantee to something like 25 songs, two albums. Here's $8 million. Let's go record two albums. They'd write songs for him or help him write songs or do whatever, and they would countryfy him because he's hot and people would download it and people would go see him and there'd be a tour. And Oliver Anthony, who has very little, has turned down $8 million and said, no thanks, no buses for me, no airplanes for me. That's not why I write music. That's not what I'm writing about. No, I'm not saying what I'm doing, and I'm not saying that I'm not going to do shows and do more music because it is my life and my passion, but I'm not taking the first $8 million that comes along to me. Now, what kind of discipline is that? How cool is that? Oliver Anthony, go listen to him perform. It's called Rich Men North of Richmond, and it is sensational. A couple of listener emails on this Friday. This one comes from Tracy. Dear Kevin, I live in Michigan now, but I used to live in St. Joseph. I listened to you on Sports Radio 810 for many years. I enjoy most every one of your podcasts. We definitely share the same political opinions. I think today was one of your best episodes ever. I really enjoyed your interaction and conversation with Dr. Michael Schwartz. I had to take a stupid jab to keep my hospital privileges. Hell will freeze over before my wife or kids will take that damn thing. I have not kept records, but I can't tell you the number of patients I've seen with unusual allergy or neurological issues following the stupid shot. I agree with you that we doctors have destroyed our trust with patients due to the stupidity of the last 3 years. Many of my colleagues are still getting boosters. Keep up the great work. Don't let them ever cancel you. I significantly enjoy you much more popular than the libs at sports radio, and I never listen to that anymore. Signed, Tracy. Well, thank you, Tracy. That's very kind of you. It is probably the most common thing I hear from people is they enjoy what I'm doing now more than when I was just doing sports. And that is the ultimate compliment. I'm not stopping. This is a topic that's very near and dear to me. If you've not heard the interview with Dr. Michael Schwartz, please go listen to it. It is, well, I you know, interviews sometimes are and shows are like kids. You can't pick them out and say what your favorites are. But if somebody said, hey, you do a podcast, I'd say go listen to that. Next week, we're going to have a local doctor on, Dr. Kip Van Camp from Ideal Health in KC has a clinic here where he is treating people specifically, not specifically, he treats all people, but he is gaining quite a reputation for treating people that have symptoms, maladies, and illnesses that they believe are related to the jab. Or their general practitioner has said, yeah, this is from the shot. And he's treating those people with regenerative medicine. He takes your own tissue and puts it back in your body and helps you get better. It is remarkable what he's doing. This is going to be the most fascinating conversation. It will be next week. and you're going to want to hear it. If you're concerned about the jab, if you're concerned about your health and the jab and what it may have done with you, or you know people that have been affected by it, or you just know people with joint pain, COPD, things that are chronic and the regular doctors have not been able to help you, you're going to want to hear what Dr. Kip Van Camp has to say. He is fascinating, and he's dedicated his life now to beginning regenerative medicine, which he never thought he'd do. But he started it when his own dad got very ill in 2011, and he learned all of this from people in Miami who were experimental at the time, and believes that he gave his dad an additional 4 years of life with the tissue treatments that he was doing with his dad in the early 2010s. He's become an expert on this. He's published many papers, and he's right here in Kansas City, and he's doing this, and it's remarkable work that he's doing. It's idealhealthkc.com is their website. His name is Dr. Kip Van Camp, and he's going to be very interesting. He'll be on the podcast next week. So it's a topic that's, I think, extremely important and will get more important as we go forward. This email from Rick. Rick says, hey, Kevin, I want to let you know that I listen to all your podcasts from start to finish. Thank you for listening from start to finish. And thank you for not speeding it up, by the way. I don't mind if y'all listen to it sped up, but man, I go to great lengths to make this thing sound right. When you speed it up, it sounds like the Chipmunks, but that's okay. I'll take whatever I can get. Rick continues, heck, I even bought a new GMC Sierra Duramax pickup from Roberts Robinson, as well as a knife from Finch Knife Company, so I guess you're a good salesman too. I don't normally send out these kinds of emails, but I had to send you props. I feel like we're a lot alike in our political views. We have the same love of sports and maybe something else too. The other day when you had Stan Weber on, always great by the way, and Stan's coming up, you said something that caught my attention. You were talking about how cool you thought it was that your wife Jessica was getting into the NFL preseason games. Just hearing you talk about your wife, I could hear it in your voice just how much you love her. I think that's awesome when guys show the love for their spouse. Some don't openly share those feelings, and that's fine. My wife and I got married at the age of 19. This August 25th, we'll be celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. I can honestly say my love for her keeps growing each day. I feel that you and Jessica will one day be celebrating your 50th as well. All the best, Rick. So I had to email Rick back. Of course I emailed him back. And I said, well, that is so very kind of you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the kind words about Jessica and the podcast. And what the heck are you doing for your 50th? Got to be doing something special. He said they're going out to Garozzo's on August 25th. So if you see somebody celebrating big time at Garozzo's, that's Friday night, August 25th. If you see that, that's going to be our guy Rick and his wife of 50 years celebrating. He said their 50th wedding anniversary trip is scheduled for December, and they're going to Maui. He says it's right now, it's just wait and see. A lot of the resorts were not affected. A lot can happen between now and December, and I didn't talk to him or anything, but from the tone of his email, his second email, it sounded like they wanted to go to Maui to like help Maui. You know, that it would do some good if they went to the island and spent some money there and that sort of thing. So we'll see. We'll follow up on that one this fall and let you know whether Rick and his wife spent their 50th in Maui. Good for them if that's what they were able to do. All right, Stan Weber is coming right up, brought to you by BStock.net. I got a text from my man Chris over at BStock yesterday. This is dumb. I told him he's got a bunch of Samsung TU 7000 70-inch TVs, 4K. Apologies for people that even paid more than this, 100 or two more in the past. He has so many in the warehouse right now. He's selling these for $399 and will deliver them anywhere in Kansas City for $25. That's insane. I said, Chris, why don't you just set them out by the curb and let people steal them? And he says, you know, not a bad idea. They've got to get out of here. Now, I'm serious. I said, why don't you just set a few of them by the curb and let people steal them? He's like, that's not the worst idea I've ever heard. $399. These are 4Ks. They're 70-inch TU 7000 Samsungs, brand new. And if you live anywhere in the Kansas City area, they'll bring them to you for $25 more. For God's sake, log on to BStock.net or go see them in Olathe and pick one of these things up. Their phone number's on their website. I'd give it to you, but it's just right there on the website, BStock.net. $399 for the 70-inch TVs, brand new. August is more than halfway over. You still have a shot at 15% off any services at the New Car Image. The website is thenewcarimage.com. Folks, it is time to clean that car up. And I'm not talking about just a wash. I'm talking about a A scrub down, baby. Let's get that thing looking new again. You deserve it. It's less expensive than you think, and these people are pros. They'll come right to you. Anywhere from Belton to Lawrence, they'll come right to you. Your workplace, your house, whatever. Now, if you want to put the ceramic coating on the outside, that has to be done in the shade in a garage. So sometimes they can do it in your garage. Sometimes you're going to have to take it to Missouri to their shop and have it done there. So call for details on that. But it's 15% off the detail right now, or any motor vehicle services, valet services, coordinating things with your dealer, picking up a new car, paying for it, doing DMV services. They'll do any of that for you, your fleet, your company. TheNewCarImage.com, 816-499-1470. Ask for Brad. He's the best. And our friends at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, BluemontHotel.com is the website, BluemontHotel.com. Goolsby's Indoor Entertainment and Fun Center is right there. You got a great restaurant and 30 taps on the wall. You pour your own beers and seltzers right off the wall. You can play duck pin bowling, indoor golf, batting cages. It's all right there at the Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's in Manhattan on the corner of Aggieville, USA, and the Kansas State campus. There is no better hotel. Well, this is the only place to stay in Manhattan. This is it, man. If you need a hotel, a business hotel, conference center, all those things, the Bluemont Hotel can do it for you. They routinely host wedding parties, rehearsal dinners, receptions, reunions, and much more. Football season is around the corner, and maybe that means the Bluemont Hotel for you. Online at BluemontHotel.com. Stan Weber's here to join us. We got a lot to talk about in college football. Missouri had a big week, getting a commitment from a five-star recruit from Lee Summit North, the defensive end, Williams Nwanari. Here's the deal. In Missouri, they're making it legal to pay the high school players to come to Mizzou. NIL money available for high school players as long as you're going to a school in-state. Missouri, I'll tell you what, that house in Jeff City, these legislatures in Jeff City, they want to win some football games now. You want to talk about a legislature that wants to win some college football games. They're in Jefferson City. It is on. Heck yeah, pay the high school players if they'll go to Mizzou. Let's do it. So we'll talk about that. And Brady Cook probably locking up the starting quarterback position there after he signed an Emo's Pizza deal. Kansas spending $300 million on a new facility. Jalen Daniels still out with back tightness. Kansas State being very quiet this offseason as they try to repeat as Big 12 champions. And Will Howard, their quarterback, basically copying and mimicking all of the motions and throws of Peyton Manning after spending the summer some time with Peyton and Eli Manning. All this coming up with Stan Weber. We'll also preview the Chiefs and Cardinals. It's up right now on KKHI. Hit it!
The KK Has Issues conversation is presented by Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, or online at joslynsjewelry.com.
You know, if you're bringing Stan Weber back onto the podcast, why not do it twice in 1 week? This is the only way to do it. Sure, we talked about what the Chiefs did last week a little bit, but now we've got so many other things to talk about, and we'll start with college football, this time with our friend Stan Weber. Hello, Stan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Great to talk to you on a Friday. Feels like the old days.
I don't think I've ever asked you this before. Do you delineate between levels of football? Do you have a favorite between like high school, college, and pro, or is football all football?
Well, I love football to such a high level that you could just say, what kind of hair are we going to split? But I usually try to listen to the question. You know, I try to listen to the question that you have stated and then go from there. And I've always been an NFL guy. I thought it's the best run organization. I thought it was the sport that had everything for television, one game a week, all those things. And I knew that, Kevin, when Vince Lombardi was coaching the Green Bay Packers. So I don't know. It's been a 1960s, definitely into the 70s. I said, this is the game. There's, you know, 32 teams now, used to be slightly less than that. You can get your arms around everybody. Everybody can be a fan of every team. And I just think that that's really cool. So that would put it on the top. The season's the longest. It ends with the Super Bowl, the proper type of playoff, the draft, everything else, parity, now salary caps. I've always said the NFL is just perfect. So give me that number one. That's the only fair statement. Now, college football has a special place in my heart because growing up as a kid, you don't get to cover everybody in the country, but you had the superstar teams that you'd follow that'd be on TV. You know your Alabamas and your USCs and Michigans and Ohio State. Then you had your local teams that you're very interested in. But when you get a chance to play and live the life of being a college athlete and then have my two sons do it at K-State and be a broadcaster going into my 37th year, I mean, how could I say college isn't right there with it? No, but it's for different reasons. The fair statement is, no matter what I would have done in any career, if I would have never been a broadcaster, I would have been locked in, sickly locked in after church on Sunday. All I care about is the NFL.
Boy, it's a good thing It's a good thing church isn't on Sunday afternoon, Stan. That's all I can say. It's a good thing you can go on Sunday morning. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to try to ask you two questions and keep it to two questions on each of our teams. And I want to start with the Missouri Tigers on this episode because they did something interesting this week. They got a commitment from a five-star defensive end from right here in Kansas City at Lee Summit North, Williams Wanneri. I hope I'm saying that right. And we have now learned that in the state of Missouri, they've passed a law and they have rules in place that they can just go ahead and pay NIL money to this kid while he's in high school, which was a pretty big factor, I think, in landing this stud of a player. Isn't that where it's all headed? I mean, if we want to pay eighth graders, isn't that coming someday? And what kind of a factor and benefit do you think this is for the Missouri Tigers right now?
Well, there's a lot of things that you ask about. This is so interesting that you're talking about getting the money to the players when they're younger. Missouri is a state that has a very unique rule right now that says you're not going to lose your amateur status if you're a high school player and you get NIL money from a college in Missouri. So if he would have slipped off and went to Iowa State, they said, no, you can't take that NIL money right now. So right now, a lot of legislatures and political people who are jumping up and down and going, hey, we got a five-star guy to Missouri. The money does matter right now, Kevin. I am talking to coaches all over the place, as you would expect right now, and they're saying basically the first question that the family asks and the player is, how much money am I going to get paid right now up front? Not how much could I earn if I play well and become a starter. There's no incentive like that. It's like you got to make your decisions right now. So it is a giant factor. Money does matter. First of all, let's talk about Missouri real quickly. When you have five-star recruits in your own state, it's really just basic core solid football program to get those guys. So, yes, congratulations, Missouri. And it's kind of a requirement. You need to do it. There's pressure. Yes, they won over others. Maybe it's because of money, but it doesn't matter why. Keeping your in-state players is a big deal. Think about Ezekiel Elliott's parents. Ezekiel Elliott's parents, Kevin, who's just signing with New England, went to Mizzou, and he went off to Ohio State. Just think a difference maker he would have been if he'd have been at Mizzou. So these are all things it's good to keep him in. The money issue becomes very interesting. It's a part of recruiting right now. If you got a seventh grade player and they're really good, the money is going to be part of your recruitment. Who would have ever thought it? But it is part of it. The next thing that's going to happen, Kevin, is what happened to the Texas Longhorns. And it's going to be hard for the programs. The Texas Longhorns, under Mac Brown, were a national power, right? I mean, they were a national power. None of this, oh, Texas is overrated. They were awesome when he was there. And one of the things that he started doing is saying recruiting becomes so important, getting early commitments becomes so important that he started offering kids when they were freshmen and sophomores around the state of Texas. They got first pick. Almost every kid wants to go to Texas. That's generally the rule. Start with Texas signing their 25, and then everyone gets second pick. So he went out there and said, well, I want to secure the people I want. And he verbally got commitments and made commitments, verbally only, to young kids who were freshmen and sophomore in high school. And guess what? Texas football started falling down a little bit, Kevin, not going up. And the reason why is you can't project those extra years ahead. We get the same thing. If you decide, Kevin, that you've got a sophomore that you love and you can pay him NIL money, if you can do that here in the future, it's not the rule now, but if you can do that in the future, you're going to start making decisions too early. Before the fruit is ripe, you've got to make a decision of which one is going to be the best one. And also, psychologically, it messes with the kid. You know what those Texas kids did when they got their verbal offer from Mac Brown and the Texas Longhorns when they're sophomores? They didn't work as hard when they were juniors and seniors. They're walking around their high school campus going, I'm going to Texas. I'm going to Texas. And they didn't get better. So this is not a good thing for the teams to have to decide where they're going to allocate their NIL money early. Already, just bringing in freshmen and paying them, Kevin, is too early. You know, it'd be great if you said to all your freshmen, I know you can't do this, but if you could say to all your 25 freshmen, I am going to sign you to to come to school here and get a scholarship. And every one of you that becomes a starter is going to get $100,000 a year after this, you know, when you become a starter. If you become a legitimate backup, we're going to pay you $50,000. You'll have some way to earn your way up the ladder.
But isn't that the kid we're giving you the money early. Don't we need the NCAA to do that? Don't we need the presidents of these schools to get together and say, look, we need to go ahead and maybe the players should unionize at some point. This is professional athletics now. That's what this is. Shouldn't there just be a pay scale or a salary cap for each team? And won't these schools get together at some point and say, look, this is crazy what we're trying to do out here. Let's have a scale, a structure, or a salary cap or whatever and do it that way. Aren't we eventually headed there?
We don't know yet, because what you say make all the sense in the world. That's what we need to get to as fans and observers of this game of college football, and the coaches would like it as well. The whole system, the football system, the pro type of system, Kevin, will settle down if we just had a salary cap and said, you can decide how much money you want to give your players, but here's the maximum total that everyone can give, and let's get to work. Let's pay these players. But the problem is that that comes along with, more than likely, them being employees of the university. Once they become employees of the university, they can unionize and work that way. That's all fine, Kevin.
Can they be employees of the athletic corporation instead of the university?
Well, yes, they could be of the athletic corporation. You're getting into some really intense stuff that a lot of these programs are run through an athletic organization just outside the university in a legal setting, right? But yes, you can be an employee of whoever's producing the football team, the basketball team, whatever it is. But all the schools are fighting tremendously right now, saying these are not employees. They're student athletes.
Right, but they're going to lose that battle. They're paying them. They're going to lose that battle. And if they unionize, I don't care. And let's come up with something where we say anybody that's on scholarship, whatever that is, the number 85 scholarship, anybody that's on scholarship gets at least $25,000 a year. Okay, $2,000 a month to come play football here. And then whatever the numbers be, and maybe it's a $5 million cap, you have $5 million every year to pay to your players however you see fit. And if you want to reduce somebody who's no good down to their $25,000 and they decide to transfer somewhere else, and you want to give your quarterback a $200,000 raise because he's playing great, you can do that. I think that day is coming. We've blown this. Yeah, you and I were in agreement from the start. This is a terrible thing we're doing. A college education was enough. Take it or leave it, okay? If you want to go show your brand on national TV and create a career for yourself, you have an opportunity that the other students on campus don't have. You're a one percenter on your campus. We've blown it. The liberals all wanted to pay these people. The people in the media all wanted to pay. Oh, we feel so bad for these kids. Let's pay, pay, pay. Well, it's going to get out of control here really fast if they don't come up with some rules like pronto.
Well, the thing that you're talking about, Kevin, is you start down one path trying to help some people and say, we want these young athletes to get money. Okay, that kind of liberal mentality.
This was so predictable for us. For you guys like you and I, we saw this. We saw it coming.
Yep. Well, they're going to get hurt. First of all, you and I have said from the beginning, you are getting a tremendous value by getting a scholarship. Okay, a tremendous value. Any of us who are listening right now who paid for kids to go to college, you know how much of a difference it makes that you don't have to pay to go to college, and you don't have to pay for books and medical treatment and tutoring and food and the coolest clothes in the world. And like you said, name, image, and likeness, they build your name, image, and likeness so you can sell at later times. You know, my kids didn't play in the pros, but if I said the word Stanton Weber and Landry Weber, guess what? People know who they are. Why? Not because they played high school or they're my son. They played football for K-State. I mean, their name, image, and likeness doesn't have to be sold. There's value in being known. But here's the bad side, the real bad side. You know who's going to get hurt? The exact athletes that they were trying to protect and say they need to be valued are going to be penalized. Because as soon as you become an employee, Kevin, guess what? You got to pay taxes on your income. And, oh, here's the big one. Your income's not the $25,000 that you talked about, Kevin. Everyone understands. You pay me $25,000 as a student athlete, and I'm going to have to pay taxes. Get it? No, no, no. Then they turn around and say, you've got to pay for all the other benefits you get. Oh, Kevin and Stan were saying that college scholarships and all this other stuff is worth value. They put that on your tax return, Kevin.
Yeah, they will.
You say, oh, you got $7,000 worth of gear this year. You're like, what? And you got food for free of $25,000 and you got your tuition, and suddenly they get a tax bill and say, this year you didn't make $25,000 like the player thinks. They say you just made $100,000.
That's a mess.
And you owe taxes on it.
Yep.
And you owe FICA. And you got to send in a tax return. So you know who gets penalized? Because university have to pay more. There's going to be less scholarships. And all those minor sports that do matter, Kevin, if you got my daughter's a volleyball player. You know, they may not have volleyball. They may say, we got to cut down our sports dramatically. So this thing is going to boomerang back.
It is.
And hurt the young people who benefited from this weird American system to go to school for free and play sports.
It was a great system for a long time. Not perfect, but it was great for a long, long time. And they messed with it, and it's going to be years before this thing is standardized and cleaned up. All right, second question on Missouri. Now that they're crushing it, clearly their state legislature wants to win in football. We know that at Ole Mizzou, all right? That state legislature down in Jeff City wants to win some dang football games in the SEC, all right? So they're on it. They're doing whatever they can. I guess I'm a little – is it good or bad that it has not been announced yet that Brady Cook is the starting quarterback? I mean, Emo's Pizza is paying him money to do commercials for them, but there seems to be a competition going at Missouri. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, you know, Sam Horn is a big, big-time two-sport athlete that came in as a true freshman last year, and a lot of Missouri fans were hoping he'd step right in and start. That's just so hard to do. So maybe you could make a case, Kevin, that he's developing in year two and really making a push against Brady Cook, who's been a starter for more than a year. And so, hey, it's great that we've got a race, but, you know, I think it's never good to have a quarterback battle at this point still in camp. Now, maybe they don't. The thing is, they just haven't announced anything. But you're probably going to look at Brady Cook. Remember last year, Kevin, he didn't have a great season, but he's a feisty player. He's a good runner, and he was injured. So he deserves a lot of credit for fighting through injury. But does he have a maximum upside that takes Missouri to another level in the SEC? You know, that's still yet to be seen. The best you can get from him, the best, is an Alex Smith. And you and I aren't ones to say that's awful. I mean, if you can go make your short passes, complete them on third down, scramble and run, hurt the other team, keep the ball moving downfield, you can be fine. So I think Brady Cook's more than likely to be the starting quarterback for Missouri. But if Sam Horn can pop and show some unbelievable capabilities, that's always a possibility. But I'm always flipping my coin, Kevin, when you hear about this five-star recruit or this great quarterback. It is so hard to move from home in high school to go to college and be out on your own and learn how to play football, and it's a hard game and everything else. I just don't put that kind of expectation like, oh, you're great just because the recruiting services said you're great. So he may still be a very good quarterback down the line. Think about K-State, Skylar Thompson, highly recruited. He ended up being very, very good for K-State. But early in his career, when he's playing, a lot of people weren't jumping up and down going, oh, this is a elite quarterback. He's going to win the Big 12, all those kind of things. So I think Brady Cook's probably the most reliable guy, and hopefully he stays healthy, and that may give Mizzou a boost.
All right, the Kansas Jayhawks made news this week, unveiling a $300 million project they say will start at the end of this football season that involves – it's interesting the way it looks. Kansas fans are very excited. The renderings are really cool looking, but I'm trying to figure out where all this money's going toward the actual stadium, because we got $50 million going to Kansas basketball. We're going to build a conference center at 11th and Mississippi, which is going to be a gateway project or something to the university, and it's going to involve all this infrastructure and businesses and – things of that nature. We heard they're going to do video boards, seat backs. They're going to redo some concession areas. They want to sell more concessions, and we think some suites will be involved here. But phase one doesn't sound like it's like some sort of complete renovation of the stadium. That would be down the road. How much catching up does Kansas have to do, and isn't this pretty much stuff everybody else was doing 15 years ago?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's no doubt when you go to Memorial Stadium and watch a KU football game, you could talk about nostalgia and the hill, but almost every recruit and fan goes, wow, this is tired, and it feels like I'm still, you know, 1984 or something going and watching a football game. It doesn't feel that way around the rest of the country, Kevin. It really has been modernization. KU did a decent job when they moved their football facility over near the hill. So it's by the stadium now. It used to not be. It used to be over at Allen Fieldhouse. So Kansas made that move, but it wasn't a fancy place. That's one of the first things they're going to do, Kevin, is take care of that. They need to have a working area and a recruiting presentation that is equal to everyone else. One of the big things that KU is trying to do under Travis Goff right now and getting football fired up, and from a facility standpoint and from a football facility standpoint, Kevin, is get rid of the track. You know, the KU relays used to be a famous deal back in the old days, and they had that track around the field. Well, the football facility had to be built so that it didn't mess with the current stadium. If they go redo the stadium like they're planning to do, they're going to move the field, I mean, the stands on the west side very close to the field like most places have it, and they're going to move that end zone closer so that they basically have a footprint available, Kevin, to enlarge, renew, and rebuild their football facility. So that's the biggest thing that they'd love to do, is get the working area where Lance Leipold is and the players where they show recruits, make that a Taj Mahal, make that a better place, and then make it a better football environment, actually make the fans part of the game. You know, at Kansas, it's the easiest place to play, Kevin, and you say, oh, yeah, they're not very good in the last 10 years. Oh, yeah, the fans don't come to the games. I'm not talking about that, Kevin. I'm saying if they come to the game and they're excited, they're so far away from the field. There's so much working room for the players that it doesn't even seem like the fans are around. The visiting team's not intimidated at all. You go to Oklahoma State, and the fans are tapping you on the helmet, Kevin. OU, there's no, you know what I'm saying? OU, they're right there. K-State, this is the way the stadiums are built right now, and Kansas wants to get to all those things. So what they're trying to do is basically recreate, the simple thing is they're trying to recreate a stadium environment that's like Baylor's, because Baylor's got one of the coolest places to play football right now. It has no tradition, Kevin. It's nothing to do with the past of Baylor football. It's a modern stadium of 40,000, and they built it to make it feel like it was bigger.
I'll tell you what I'd consider if I were Kansas, and they never considered this because they love their campus and whatever. I would have considered finding some land out either by the river or I-70 or somewhere out there and saying, look, that's our stadium. That's our game day stadium. We'll build all our football facilities right here around Memorial Stadium. We can have the practice area. We can build our football offices and do all that. When it's game day, it's game day. We're going out there and playing. They could put something out there. They could literally like put Sandstone out of business if they wanted to do concerts and things like that. What Baylor did, and TCU really, is a blueprint for places like KU and K-State. I don't know how many hundreds of millions they're going to wind up spending on all of the different phases at Memorial Stadium, but it wouldn't surprise me if they eventually get to $1 billion trying to build that thing up into what it is they're going to do. They could walk out today and build the thing from the ground up and have the Taj Mahal on game day in a facility that they could use for all kinds of other things. I respect those programs that went out and just said, look, our old stadium doesn't work. We're going to build a new one. I do think there's something to that, and this might have been the case, but I think they're so in love with their hill and their spot that they will never consider doing that. So they're going to have to find a way to make this work. And it's complicated. They're a little landlocked right there. This will not be easy.
Well, that's the thing I think about being in the real estate business. I kind of shake my head. I have not heard the details at all, but how you have your current facility of Memorial Stadium, the famous kind of U with the open end looking up the hill, you know, that's iconic for the old college campus. I mean, Kansas had a beautiful view right there. And then how do you say we're going to keep using it, play football games here, not miss home games, and then turn around and have it all built as a brand new stadium, you know, kind of be brand new like Baylor and do it on the same site. I just kind of shake my head and go, this is going to be an engineering phenomenon. Yep. They can do this.
Yeah, I think we're probably looking at,
I'm more interested in that than anything.
I think we're probably looking at about a 20-year deal here in different phases. I think it's going to take a long, long, long time to bring that thing up to exactly what they want it to be. All right, back to the football portion, and that is Jalen Daniels, the quarterback, still out with back tightness. There's no question who the starter is there, but, you know, you played quarterback at a very high level, Kansas State, you've been around the game forever, and he's a veteran player. How much camp does he need? How much do you think they'll split time early, maybe in the first, you know, non-con game or something? Illinois is rolling in, I think, in week two, which is going to provide a stout defense for the Jayhawks to play. How concerned should KU fans be that Jalen Daniels, not just whether or not he's going to be ready, but how much time he's missed? How do you assess all this?
Well, I think they're both big issues. Whatever injury it is, and there are different ones that are worse if you're talking about in-season injuries, but when you talk about off-season injuries, if your back's tight and sore or your knee's not coming back from something or your shoulder surgery, or, you know, whatever it is, you can't function fully early in camp when quarterbacks don't get hit at all, Kevin. You don't get hit in the spring. So you're not talking about the physicality of football. You're just saying that he's unavailable for whatever reason. That becomes a little scary. They have a good backup quarterback. He's been a starter, Lance Leipold. Has Jason Bean back? You know, that's one of the big things. Everyone thought, even I think head coach Lance Leipold thought he was going to move on. He came back, so they have another way to go right now, and he keeps talking him up in camp. So they're not going to be really hurting too badly, but Daniel's health is a big thing. He's the guy last year who killed it, was in the Heisman Trophy talk, Kevin, until he got injured. So is an injury bug? Is he a guy who's got problems with injuries? It's definitely something to be concerned about. And I think from a perspective of getting ready, this is not the NFL guys, Kevin. They don't need a lot of work. You don't see NFL starting quarterbacks playing in the preseason very much. They don't think they need much work. I happen to think they need more than they do, and so does Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They actually play some. I think that's an advantage. But in college, you definitely need the reps. So, yes, it hurts. If he's not getting reps in practice, that will affect his early season play.
All right, let's move to Manhattan and a program you're obviously very close to as the analyst for the Wildcat Network for 37 years. It's been very quiet. I started with the other schools because they've had news. They had things going on. It's pretty quiet around Kansas State. My guess is this is the way Chris Klieman likes it. He's got a Big 12 championship team that a lot of people think can do it again, but you've watched this for years and years and years. It's not so easy as just showing up, plugging your quarterback in, and going and doing it again. What are the important lessons that Chris Klieman is trying to teach or impart on his players about how to repeat when you know you're already pretty good?
Well, one of the things that Chris Klieman invested in about three seasons ago, after that COVID season, he kind of grabbed that program by the neck and said, I'm going to implement a style and a philosophy. He has very stable coaching staff. They work well together. They're talented. They're teaching good stuff. They switch to a 3-3-5 defense, which helps them strategically against the run pass options and things like that. He implemented that. He also really said, I'm going to invest in teaching the players that it's your program, seniors. Now you got sixth-year guys, Kevin, fifth-year seniors. You got older teams than you ever had before. So it's been a perfect play for him to say, it's your team. It's your turn. Daniel Green, you could have in normal times been done with your college eligibility, but you get to come back. And last year you're battling injury. You're a star linebacker. What do you want this team to be like? And so there's great internal leadership, Kevin. And they kind of feel like there's a renewing of that year because it's their senior year. It's their last year. Will Howard, this is the first time he's ever gone into camp saying, I get to be the starting quarterback. So Chris Klieman has done a good job of playing off of that without mentioning anything about, hey, be careful, don't be complacent. He's been able to just kind of do the same thing he's done the last few years and say, guys, it's your turn. Will Howard, are you going to step up and be different? And yes, they don't act like it's 2022. They're excited about being a part of this team. That's helped. The second thing that he's done very subtly, Kevin, is he doesn't get too high or too low. He's been able to do that throughout the whole time he's been there. He's going into his fifth year already. So they know him very well, and his coaching staff has been very stable, very calm. And they realize his emotions don't jump all over the place. He doesn't get down when they lose a non-con game to Tulane or Arkansas State. You know, that's kind of unheard of for great teams to lose a game like that. And he responds like no big deal. Then they go beat an Oklahoma, and he's act like no big deal. Now what's really coming into play that's an advantage for Chris Klieman and K-State is that this guy's been absolutely the hunted. He has been at North Dakota State, which is equivalent to Alabama. It's been the Alabama of FCS, and that's not bad football, Kevin. They won a national championship every year. Their fans are crazy. They travel. They don't expect to ever have a bad quarter and never to lose a game. He's been around that year after year after year. So if you talk about a guy who's used to being the hunted or reaching heights, he's been very good about basically saying, without saying it, because who wants to hear about North Dakota State, right? I can say it, but he isn't going to go to his players and go, guys, I've been at championship-level football before. I've won one year and come back and repeated the next and the next. But the fact is, he is playing off that. He's teaching them what he taught those North Dakota State players about how to handle when you're the favorite. The Kansas City Chiefs are going through it. The K-State Wildcats are going through it. How do you handle it? And this guy, this is in his wheelhouse. This is Chris Klieman's best coaching capability, is when the Wildcats get good, he is going to be able to keep them focused, energized, and back to the task of going to the next season. And right now, every indication coming out of camp, Kevin, is it's happening. It's absolutely happening. There's no complacency. There's no internal fighting. Like, I want more NIL money, or why don't I get more respect? They're just getting back to work. He set it up the last few years, and he's been around North Dakota State. He really is built to have a team come back off a Big 12 championship and play the favorite role, kind of quietly, but still be the favorite.
All right, this would sound absolutely crazy for me to ask this question if it were a year ago, for sure. But since Will Howard has quarterbacked a Big 12 championship team and played at an exceedingly high level in doing so, and Kansas State clearly turned the corner when he became the quarterback halfway through the year last year, I have watched videos of him in practice. I have seen some of the things he did over the summer. I know he spent time with Peyton and Eli Manning. I can't get this out of my head, and I want to mention this before anybody watches a Kansas State game this year. I don't think I've lost my mind. His mechanics look different. He's holding the ball in a different spot. His release looks like... I'm not comparing. I'll be darned if that guy is not a clone of Peyton Manning the way he drops back and throws the football right now. Am I nuts?
There's so many things. I hate to use the name Peyton Manning with him because, man, that is so unfair. But he does remind him, you know, number 18, he's big, and he's super smart. You know, I've said it last year that he's the smartest quarterback in college football right now. He understands football better than anybody. All or many college quarterbacks study like a big dog. You know, I'm not cutting down their dedication to their craft, but no one understands it the way he does and can apply it on the field. And hey, if this were 2022, hopefully the listeners on KK Has Issues remember when you were jumping my case and I was saying, Will Howard's fine, he's good, I believe in him, all those things. I always did, and now you're seeing the fruition of the hard work, and he's throwing the ball better. You deserve talking about that, Kevin. He threw a ball that didn't spiral all the time perfectly. His mechanics have gotten better. He's quicker releasing the football. He throws a more accurate ball. He has upped his game physically. There's no doubt about it. Less baby fat and more true man strength. But he's always had the brain, the work ethic, the confidence, the team attitude that's really, really good. He has a chance, Kevin. He does have a chance to be an NFL quarterback. And that's a big statement right there. I mean, there's no guarantee.
I never would have thought
it. I said that about Skylar Thompson about halfway to two-thirds of the way through his senior year was the first time it came out of my mouth when he was playing against Oklahoma at home. I said, boy, watching Skylar Thompson the last few weeks, I could see him being an NFL quarterback. And look at it. He actually started some for Miami last year. I'm going to say it about Will Howard. I think there's a chance, Kevin, he could be an NFL quarterback and maybe a starter. I mean, it's not easy. You can be good and still not be an NFL quarterback. But Will Howard has a chance to do that. He really has the whole package right now. We know he can run. He's not slow. But he's mostly a pocket passer, an NFL-style passer who understands the game, and he really has emphasized the work. Well, I mean, he flew to Dallas in the spring when K-State had an off day in spring ball and did a quarterback guru workout. I'm like, what? What? I've never heard of that. Now, you got to have enough money. You know, your family has money.
Well, I assume there's plenty of money coming his way to keep him there after last year. I'm sure there would have been, 75 schools in America that would have taken him this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you can say NIL money, but still, I never heard of anybody, you know, flying to another city and getting an extra workout. And you might say, you know, what's funny is now, just think of this, fans, you'd say, is that disrespectful? I mean, is that disrespectful to Colin Klein, his quarterback coach, and Chris Kleiman, his head coach, and he's flying to Dallas in the spring to get a workout?
No.
And not if you watch the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Not if you watched Patrick Mahomes and Kirk Cousins and seen that these guys are hiring gurus in addition to what they get at the football facility.
I think the interesting part of this story here is we're going to move on to the Chiefs and get to the pros in a second. The interesting part here is he decided very clearly that he was going to emulate Peyton Manning, not Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's something that, as I say that, people hear that and understand that. He's going to go the Manning way. He's going to be a pocket guy. He's going to be the smartest guy on the field. He's going to have to figure out where the ball goes and make quick decisions and things like that. But I think he looked around college football and said, okay, I can't do what a lot of these other guys do. I'm not going to try to do that. But I think I can do what Peyton Manning did. And Peyton Manning threw a lot of wobbly touchdown passes. And so did Joe Montana. I consider and name a lot of guys that were really, really great in the pocket and threw a lot of touchdown passes in their career that weren't always perfect spirals or had the golden arm. And I think that's a really smart decision on his part. And I just wanted to bring it up. I'm telling you, I can't believe the transformation from last year to this year. He looks just like Peyton Manning when he's back. I'm not saying he's Peyton Manning. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. I'm saying he has clearly copied and emulated everything. The kid at USC, Caleb Williams, everything he does looks like Patrick Mahomes. There is no doubt in my mind. He spent every waking moment thinking, I'm going to throw the football and scramble around and step up and sideways and all this other stuff like Patrick Mahomes. And he's learned it, and he's great. I think these college kids do look at role models in the pros and say, that's the way I need to play. But I don't know too many quarterbacks that are around these days going, I want to go play like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. That is old school.
It's totally old school, and it's very smart. He changed his number from 15. He played as a number 15 for K-State, and he changed to 18, Kevin. So it makes it even look more like Peyton Manning with that jersey on. The thing is, though, about Peyton Manning and Will Howard is they really need to have their feet set to throw the ball.
Yep.
And that's what's different. You can talk about running capabilities. And stuff. If Will Howard, he's not as slow as Peyton Manning. I mean, if he gets in a straight line, we've seen him run 50 yards, 80 yards for touchdowns. He's a big, fast runner. But in the pocket and basic football plays, he needs to have his feet set, Kevin, to throw that accurate ball.
Yeah.
Where Patrick Mahomes and this new modern quarterback is saying, I can be sidearm, rolling sideways, falling backwards on one leg, and I can still spin that ball. The coordination in their wrist, Kevin, their elbow, their hand is off the charts that they can throw the ball accurately. Will Howard can't do that. He'll throw an interception. If you go back and look at the first drive of the game against Alabama, K-State moved down the field slowly, and it ended up being an interception. Pressure on the quarterback forced him to not be able to get his whole body into the throw. He was trying to throw to Deuce Vaughn down the right side, and the ball came up just a little bit short. Alabama's so good. The defender did a great job and intercepted the K-State pass. So K-State drove the ball down the field, got intercepted by Alabama, and still, Kevin, think about this, still led 10-0 against Alabama before the Heisman Trophy quarterback just went crazy.
Yeah.
But K-State could have been up 13 or 17-0 at that point. But Will Howard, the thing is, he needs to play like Peyton Manning. You're exactly yep. right, Kevin. He it's looks crazy. Like him, and he's got to play on him. Mostly he's got to be able to get his feet set. He can roll and stop, but he's got to get his feet set, which is nothing like Patrick Mahomes.
It's a very mature decision on his point. On his part to recognize that. All right, we're going to move on to pro football. And I want to mention a couple of sponsors here that are very proud to be affiliated with our Stan Weber interviews all football season long, like Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty. They've got low interest rates now on GMC Sierra and Chevy Silverado trucks. Give them a call or online at robertsrobinson.com. Buck Roofing and Construction. Stan and I are both buddies with Ron Buck. He's done work on both of our houses. Online at rbuckroofing.com. It's a free roof inspection anytime you want it. Just give them a call at 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And our buddy TJ Vilkanskis at Back 9 Development in the entire Midwest. If you've got a project, some land, something you want to build, a house in Kansas City or a business in Topeka or something of that nature, Back 9 Development is there for you. Give TJ a call. He'd love to personally meet with you about your dreams and make it come true. 785-236-0161 for back9development.com. Stan, we'll transition here to the Chiefs, and I'll ask you second about what you're watching for in the game. But in last week's game, the most interesting thing I thought was hearing Mark Donovan, the team president on there, talking about the possibility of two renovations at Arrowhead Stadium, one for soccer. Then we'll get around to the Chiefs fans before 2031 and renovate Arrowhead for football after we tear it apart for soccer. And the Royals still don't know what they're doing. They say in September they're going to name a location. I've never seen anything as scattered as this. It's been going on for at least 2 years, and we don't have any idea really what either of these teams are going to do. Were you surprised to hear Mark Donovan say two renovations, and do you think that their plan is to put one vote on the ballot and roll it all in and have Patrick Mahomes get him across the goal line?
Well, I'm not surprised about it being a factor that the World Cup's going to cost a bunch of money and a lot of renovation at Arrowhead Stadium. They need the field to be bigger, so they're going to tear out seats closest to the field to make it ready for soccer. The soccer specifications, Kevin, are very, very intense, and it's my understanding that they're going to build a new field kind of suspended on top of the Arrowhead turf where they play football. It's going to be a whole new field and a system built in to support the field. It's not going to be just planting new grass where Patrick Mahomes throws the ball. Okay, so they're doing a ton of renovation. I don't remember the exact numbers, but when Mark Donovan said that to Trent Green during the game in New Orleans, my jaw dropped.
Right.
Not so much because I was surprised of the money, but that he actually said it out loud. Like, we have a whatever the number is. There's big. I don't even want to quote it. Go back and listen. A big number for first renovation, and then come back, obviously, and address what the Chiefs are going to do. And that brings in what the Royals are going to do. And there's all kinds of complications where we could go talk about all this stuff. I'll just say simply, the Royals separating or being the lead bird in the flight, you know, taking all of the wind in their face that they're doing right now publicly. The Chiefs are just sitting right behind going, this is a winning combination no matter what happens. If the Royals leave Kansas City, Missouri for, you know, it's a 50-50 shot. If they leave Kansas City, Missouri and go to Clay County, then that 3/8 sales tax is being charged right now can just continue on. No raise in taxes to the users of Jackson County. But you double the money to the Chiefs because half of it used to go to the Royals. The Chiefs are obviously going to get a winning amount of money doing whatever they want to. If they want to build a new stadium, renovate Arrowhead, whatever they want to do, they're going to be giant winners, and the Royals are helping them out. That's easy. But this World Cup stuff, Kevin, I love the fact that you are a reporter, a guy who's going to follow this and bring clarity to a subject that no one else is bringing in Kansas City. Because everybody I know, I'm talking about all the leaders in town, all the business people, everybody I talk to is doing backflips about how great the World Cup is. And you're the only one who's kind of sorting it out.
It's just so stupid. It's stupid. We're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars for three freaking soccer matches from countries and fans that can't find us on a map today. This is a Clark Hunt pet project. He's a billionaire. He loves soccer. He loves European soccer. He played soccer. These are all good things. Just write the check, Clark. If this is for you, write the check. Don't involve us. This isn't going to be a winner for the city. These other cities around the country aren't stupid, Stan. The other cities our size passed on this and said, no way, this is a giant money-sucking loser. We're not doing this. But in Kansas City, we have the news channels and everybody running around with pom-poms on. We're a world-class city. We've got the World Cup. Well, really? Well, they haven't told us yet how they're stealing our money, which they're going to do. They just haven't told us yet.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's going to cost a fortune. Who actually pays for it? You know, I don't know.
Well, it's going to be the taxpayers. We know how this works. Kansas City has 100 years of this history, Stan. You can go all the way back to Pendergast and all the different things that happened. This city has a history of corruption, of taking money from the people and blowing it. That's what we do. That's what we do. They say they're going to build an airport, and I'm thrilled we have an airport. And it costs twice as much as they say. Because of course it does. There's no honesty in any of this. And to this point, nobody's put a dollar figure on the World Cup. All I know is we're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars on the World Cup. And they're going to say, oh, it did all this for these businesses. Really? The NFL draft was supposed to do that too. And it didn't. It just flat didn't. It was a bunch of people from Blue Springs and Leawood T-Mobile, driving down there to drink beer and watch the draft. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was a great local event. T-Mobile Center, they said, they promised, the Anschutz Group was saying, oh, we're going to get an NHL team any day. Yeah. You know, you knew that wasn't going to happen. Now, we can still cheer about some of the benefits, like, hey, isn't it great that the Power and Light District and T-Mobile's turned out to be a positive? No one talks about how much money that cost. Okay, the Cordish Group and Out-of-Town Group has come down, and they have just pounded the city financially.
It's a government, and they're government funded. The Cordish Group just takes it's back to the Jimmy Carter era that he passed. This was all government subsidies and federal government money, and now the Power and Light District is losing money. It's just, I love it. I'm glad we have the arena. I've been to many events there. I think we improved Kansas City, but again, it just was so dishonest from the jump.
Yeah, the financial ramifications, if you know what's really going on, are totally different than the fun you have down going to a T-Mobile event, okay? So I'm not here to say what's right and wrong, because maybe everyone should just have a pride and joy about having downtown rejuvenated and all of that. But the prediction of how much it's going to cost versus the benefit are not even close to what they tell you on any of these things. And in this case, I'm just glad that, you know, at some point we're going to do at least a little bit of accounting and discussion about the World Cup at some point. But right now, out of 1,000 people, Kevin, you are the one. I will get 999 responses that they just think this is great for the city, and it's just going to be so awesome to have, you know, like a team's going to be assigned to us, and they're going to, people are going to live here for a whole month and just spend money like you can't believe, Kevin. And then, and then a bi-state deal. The governor of Kansas is saying we're in.
It's unbelievable.
Supporting Kansas City on the Kansas side said, do you know, we're in.
Do you know why the governor's in? The governor's in because she gets a suite at the freaking Super Bowl. That's why she's in. They have no right to spend our money this way. None. Let me bring this down to earth just a little bit because I'm getting hot under the collar here. You know my wife, Jessica, all right? She says to me when we're talking about this last weekend, she goes, she loves the Chiefs. I mean, she loves the Chiefs. And she loves Arrowhead, and she loves going. And she says, I can't believe they're tearing up my effing football stadium for a stupid soccer tournament. She is livid over this deal. Like it's blasphemy just to have soccer in that stadium. Like, this is her temple. Don't be playing soccer in here.
Well, she wasn't enough of a Chiefs fan to remember the Wizards were there.
No,
you're right.
She is.
The Hunt family. Soccer's a big deal to the Hunt family.
I know,
family.
But Lamar that was a disaster. Believed, the Wizards at Arrowhead was a disaster.
I know, but I'm talking about internationally. He loves soccer.
I know.
He's an NBA owner.
Then great. He needs to pay for all this. Yeah, there should not be any World Cup attached to any vote anywhere in this city. Let these billionaires.
I tell you what, Jessica.
Let the elite billionaires in our town, if they want to rub elbows with Saudi princes and whatnot that are going to be here, let them pay for this freaking thing. Because this is a debacle. Is what it is. And it's going to be a giant money loser.
I love hearing you talk about it because FIFA.
they're crooks. They're criminals. It's the most corrupt thing on earth. There's nothing.
No one's Bidens, talking about that.
Buddy, the Bidens look like they're CPAs compared to FIFA. Okay? Seriously. It's ridiculous.
Well, the Saudis, you got such a deal, such a big deal in golf where there's such a righteous attitude in golf about where this money coming from, but no one talks about that at the World Cup. Anyway, Jessica is becoming more and more likable. I mean, she's watching preseason games.
Oh yeah.
She's talking about Arrowhead getting torn up.
Oh, she hates it.
And all those things. So, hey, Kevin, this is a very interesting thing for me to watch the next few years, because all you're going to hear is a one-sided view.
Yes.
Of this whole thing.
Because
I'm not telling you how much the media good there is and how much bad.
Here's what I don't get, Stan. You've been in media forever. How do the media I watched Channel 41. They did an hour special last week on the World Cup prior to a Chiefs or after the Chiefs game. They're on there talking about civic pride, and there's Kathy Nelson waving her pom-poms. And I like Kathy Nelson, and it's her job to wave the pom-poms. But here's all the media like, oh, it's gonna be so great. We're a world-class city. Do these people not think at all? Do they just regurgitate what they're told by the people in charge? I cannot believe how little critical thinking there is in the media these days. It's embarrassing is what it is.
Yeah. And again, I just want all your listeners, because you could, even your group of listeners could have the vast, vast, vast majority think this is the greatest thing ever. And I'm not saying it is or not. It's just, there should be balance in the thought process, and there should be sorting out of the realities of cost, benefit, and all these things, and it's not being done right now. So I don't know how successful. It's like T-Mobile is a great example. I knew that they didn't have an NHL team. I'd worked with the AG type people, the Anschutz people before. I knew about this business group, okay? The fact that they said, we got the NHL in our back pocket. We're going to bring a team here. I was like, there's no way you're getting a team here. There's no way. Why do you say that? If you say we need a new arena, just tell us the truth. So I'm not saying T-Mobile's a bad deal or the Power and Light. I'm just saying that the true analysis from the beginning should be more critical. And even today, as much as the T-Mobile Center has been a part of our lives, Kevin, the amount of money that the city is losing, keeping that asset going, and the garages and all the costs and everything else, the overruns, they are not getting the tax dollars they need to pay their bills. So it's coming out of other sources, the general fund from the government. So just step back a second, because Kevin's the only person I've talked to so far who has some critical thoughts about this whole thing, other than just jumping up and down. And this is a surprise, because you think everyone jumps up and down when the Chiefs win or the Royals are in the World Series? Yeah, we know that. Hug your neighbor. Let's go to the parade. But this is the same thing. We're having a World Cup soccer tournament coming here, and everyone acts like, I mean, everyone I talk to, Kevin, acts like the Royals just won the World Series.
No,
I
take
my head going,
it's crazy.
Let's think about this a little bit.
The Chiefs are going to put a vote out there. Patrick Mahomes is going to be the face of it. Everybody loves him. They're sure they're going to pass whatever they want because Mahomes is going to get over the top. And when that includes $100 million or more for soccer, I'm going to lose my freaking mind, okay? Because it's got nothing to do with anything. And Kansas Cityans should vote no on paying for soccer. They should vote yes if they want to build something really cool for the Chiefs long term in this city. They should vote yes on that. They should vote no on soccer. It's a money loser. And they're only attaching it to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs because they're winning. That is a grift. That's what politicians do. All right, so let me...
I'm glad they're winning. Hey, I'm glad they're winning,
I'm glad they're winning, right? People are going to vote yes. They're pretty darn sure they're going to vote yes for soccer because they're winning in football, which to me is...
Well, Patrick's wife played soccer. Patrick's wife is the owner of the current. Okay. And Patrick's going to do it. What's great about this, though, is Patrick's going to be sincere because he would have done it for Kansas City. Okay. He would have... Right. Bit his lip.
But are you really doing something for Kansas City if you're doing the soccer thing? The soccer thing's a loser. It's taking our money for something that most Chiefs fans don't want. Let me ask you a point-blank question, Stan. Let's say they're $250 face value. Are you buying tickets to the World Cup?
That's unfair.
It's not unfair because I'm not. I'm not going.
Well, but we don't appreciate soccer.
So no, who does?
Soccer.
Who does?
You ask me, do I like, what was my favorite thing, you know, up at the top? Is it the NFL, college football, high school? You've gone to the bottom. Stan, you know, what's my least favorite thing about sports?
Stan.
Soccer.
Stan.
FIFA.
This is
international
this
soccer.
This would be.
I don't have any appreciation
this would
for
be,
it, so I apologize.
This would be the equivalent of having a vote saying we need to build a new downtown arena for the WNBA. That's what we're talking about here. It's a joke. It's a joke.
For a month and a half. Or however long.
Whatever, yeah. All right, final question. Oh, boy, I got a lot of stuff we didn't get to, but we'll get to it at some point before the season starts because I do want to talk to you about the AFC and some other things. What are you looking for out of the Chiefs on Saturday night against the Cardinals that either you didn't see last week or that needs to be corrected from last week?
Well, just an intensity, a respect for the game. It's just preseason, but the starters know if you're a Kansas City Chief, you're going on the field for a little while. And you've got to warm up and act like it's a real game and respect the game. Even though you know you're going to have your helmet off and a cap on very, very soon. You know, in an hour or so, you're going to be done playing. You have to respect the game. And Patrick Mahomes did last week. But I don't think the rest of the guys did. They came out lethargically and got run over by the Saints. You can make a case that the preseason doesn't matter a lot. I have no problem with that. You can make a case that the Chiefs defense did not look good, giving two touchdowns away right away, and it looked pretty easy for the Saints moving down the field. But L'Jarius Sneed and Chris Jones are their two best defenders, Kevin. And so we've got to hold our breath a little bit and say, you know, without those two guys on the field, you got to give the Chiefs a little bit of room. But then you've got to start asking a question, what about L'Jarius Sneed? Kevin, when is he going to be available? This has nothing to do with the contract. This is him sitting on the side because of injury. So there's a little concern level building up. We're basically just under 3 weeks away before the Chiefs start playing the NFL season against the Detroit Lions on a Thursday night. So I want to see him respect the game, have a little intensity, see the offense get to drive all the way down the field. Obviously, I'm watching the tackles still to see how those guys play to solidify that line for Patrick Mahomes throwing the football. And on the defensive side, I think you need to watch the cornerback some, okay? Because I think Trent McDuffie, he's the real deal, Kevin, but he hasn't really proven it in a whole season. We can be excited about what he did at Washington. I was super excited when he was the first-round pick of the Chiefs last year. I liked what he did last year, but he didn't do it for a whole year. He was only here and there in. He didn't really have to dominate his position. Trent McDuffie has got to play a star level right now. Make that development, be a down-after-down guy to hopefully complement L'Jarius Sneed. But if Sneed's injured, then you really have to have great play out of McDuffie. And if Sneed is available, you still need 3 and 4 cornerbacks, Kevin, in the NFL on a regular basis. 3rd down and 7. That's when football games are won or lost. In my mind, who can convert on that 3rd down reliably? And you got Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, those cornerbacks out there. You know, can those guys step up, Kevin? We've already had an injury where Jones got hurt and is out for the year. He was picking up his game. I'm really interested in the cornerback position because you need multiple guys. I'd say start watching Trent McDuffie. Is he ready to play down after down at a super high level And if he is, that really advances the Chiefs. But it's almost a must now. It's not a bonus. He's got to be ready to play because the cornerback position being ravaged a little bit. If you're a K-State fan or a local fan, Lawrence kid, Echo Boydo, is actually in the mix, Kevin, to possibly make the Kansas City Chiefs roster. He wasn't drafted. He wasn't even a normal free agent signing. He went to the tryout camp, basically. After the NFL has its draft, they immediately bring their rookies in, and that's only, what, 10 of them? So they need other guys to play football with them. So they invite people to put on a Chiefs uniform and say, come on in. Echo Boydo did that, earned his way to the next level, and now is one of the guys in the mix. And then obviously it's going to be fun to watch Felix Anudike Uzomah. A lot of people are reporting that he got off to a slow start after coming off an off-season injury, that he wasn't playing great in camp and everything else. But what I saw, Kevin, when he played in the game the other day was that explosiveness. He got to the quarterback. He had that quick twitch muscle that you would see from a pass rusher. So I'm not saying he's going to dominate the league, but I thought it was a good showing in that first game against New Orleans. Felix Anudike Uzomah. Fun to say. Get used to saying it, everyone. Felix Anudike. Felix Anudike Uzomah. Say it that way, and you'll be in the top 5% because very few people are pronunciating it the right way. Felix Anudike Uzomah. It'll be fun to watch him and say his name.
Or just go with Felix, which is the easiest way to do it. Stan, you are absolutely the best, my man. I took way too much of your time. I can't thank you enough. I hope you have a great weekend. I know you're going to be vegging out on a whole bunch of preseason pro football, as am I. Thank you so much. I value our chats, and I'm sorry I got so wound up today.
Oh, Kevin, it's great to talk to you on a Friday. Hopefully people will listen anytime, but even if you listen once it hits 4 o'clock, it's like Pavlov's dog. You probably need to act like, hey, Stan and Kevin, between the lines, in the old days, turn it on at 4 o'clock and listen to it again.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you very much.
Okay, take care, Kevin.
There he is, the one and only Stan Weber, brought to you by 360 Document Solutions, your solution for your business. Any machines you're looking for to become more productive, 360 can help you with that. Copiers, printers, phone systems, IP, it's all right there. And service is the name of the game. Anywhere in Missouri, Kansas, or Oklahoma, 360 Document Solutions would love to hear from you. 913-745-5344. I'm going to be seeing Mark Lindquist later today. Very excited to see him. It's been a couple of months since we have chatted. We're going to get together and maybe hoist a cold one today. There you go. 360documentsolutions.com. Dr. Bill Bush and North Kansas City Dental, an award-winning dentist, speaks all over the country about high-tech dentistry. He's in a select group of dentists with a mastership in the Academy of General Dentistry. This guy is really something. He's the dentist to Chiefs players and staff. He can be your dentist too. Online at nkcdental.com. Two convenient locations, one in Kansas, one in Missouri, 816-471-2911. Can I say it? Go with a great conservative American patriot dentist that loves football. Is that not your guy? I mean, seriously, why would you not switch dentists? He's awesome. NKCDental.com. And Amini's 105th of Metcalf. Good weekend to get out there and take a look at all of the great things they have for football season for you, whether it's a new pool table for your man cave, shuffleboard, golden tee, pinball machines, bar stools, outdoor furniture. Great selection right now, including zero interest up to 72 months on select products. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. This is Amini's. Online at Amini's.com, also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. Hope you all have a great weekend. If you want to get signed up today as a patron, go to kkhasissues.com, and we'll get you the newsletter this weekend. I haven't decided whether I'm doing the newsletter Saturday or Sunday. We're going to Billy Joel on Saturday night, so I may wait until Sunday to do the newsletter and include some photos of me and Cato and our lovely wives at the concert, maybe some pictures with some of you that we run into. So I may be doing that on Sunday. If you want to see that newsletter every week, you just sign. It's easy to sign up. Go to kkhasissues.com, click on Become a Patron. It only takes a couple of minutes, and it's only $5 a month. We did 3 podcasts this week, exclusive podcasts for patrons this week, and we do the newsletter on the weekend, and I think you'll enjoy it and find real value in it for $5. We also use the patron podcast to support local charities, which is a great thing, so we certainly would appreciate if you cared to sign up. People really enjoy the newsletter as well. KKHasIssues.com. Click on Become a Patron and see that newsletter this weekend. Short of that, hit the like, follow, or subscribe button, or if you don't mind, when you're out and about, tell other people about the podcast. We certainly appreciate the word of mouth. And we thank you every day for hitting the play button at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.